Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is part three of a six-part series on the 12 days of Christmas. We're counting down from day 12 to day one and plan to arrive on day one on the first day of Christmas, which is Christmas Day. A couple of reminders here about what we've talked about so far. So this poem called The 12 Days of Christmas, we believe it was written down way back in 1558, and then it was finally turned into a song hundreds of years later in 1909. What is this song about? It's about God the Father gifting people like you and me with 12 precious Bible gifts. We all like to get gifts, don't we? So these are 12 precious Bible gifts that we have identified in the song. What are those gifts? Well, so far we've covered some of them. Let me remind you here. So day 12, 12 drummers drumming. Those are the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. Day 11, 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful disciples. Day 10, 10 lords a-leaping, the 10 commandments. Day 9, 9 ladies dancing, the 9 parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the ones that we have covered so far. Today, we focus on day 8, and then we come to day 7. What are we doing? We're counting all the way down to day 1. Day 1 is what? A partridge in a pear tree. Okay, a partridge in a pear tree. Who is that talking about? That is talking about Jesus, the Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So we're coming all the way to Him, and we're going to celebrate that on the day that we celebrate His birth. That's what we're leading up to. Well, coming to day 8 here, we come to 8 maids a-milking, and that's talking about the 8 Beatitudes. Does anybody here know where the Beatitudes are at in the Bible? So a Beatitude is a blessing. Where are these 8 blessings found? They are found right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and right there early on in chapter 5, we have the 8 Beatitudes. When we think about these 8 Beatitudes now, you have to keep in mind, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount to people who are His disciples. So when we think about the 8 Beatitudes, some of them are telling us what we are as Jesus' disciples. Other ones are saying how we live as Jesus' disciples. And then with the 8 Beatitudes, they are identifying 8 eternal blessings that belong to you and me. So let's go ahead and go over them kind of briefly here, but I think you'll get what they mean, and hopefully they will be understandable to us and we can apply them in our lives. So keep in mind again, these are spoken to disciples of Jesus, to Christians, to people who trust in Jesus, who follow Jesus, who want to honor Him in their lives. So here we are in Matthew chapter 5, and really we pick up in verse 3 as we come to the 8 Beatitudes. First of all, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these disciples of Jesus, they are aware of their spiritual helplessness. Like it says, they're poor in spirit. That's talking about their spiritual helplessness. And then what are they doing? By the grace of God, they are trusting in Jesus. And what do they have? They have the gift of heaven. See, it's so critical with that beatitude. If we don't know that we are poor in spirit, if we don't know that we are helpless to save ourselves, then we're never going to be open to the work of Christ benefiting us. We're going to think, oh, I don't need Him. I'm okay. I'm not helpless. But God wants us to know we are poor in spirit. We are helpless. The second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So for disciples of Jesus, they are aware that their sins have separated them from their God. When we mourn, that's because of a separation. If we have somebody that we love and that person dies, now we are separated from that person, so we mourn. When we sin, our sin separates us from our God who made us and loves us, and that causes us to mourn. So it's the ones who are aware that their sin is a serious matter, those people, by the grace of God, they are trusting in Jesus as their Savior, and they are the ones who are comforted with forgiveness. The third one here, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, as followers of Jesus, we are showing consideration toward others. We are being gentle with others, and God wants us to know we have an amazing inheritance. So with this one, about being gentle, what Jesus is saying, because you are my disciples, gentleness is going to be a characteristic that would define you as my follower. And then the fourth one here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So as followers of Jesus, what is true for you and me? We are righteous in the sight of God. That means that when God looks on us, he sees us to be perfectly right. Because of that, we are filled with great joy. So in response to that, now we have a desire to live righteous lives. In other words, we want to be who God has made us to be. He's made us his holy children. Now we want to live holy lives. Number five, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. As followers of Jesus, we know we have received mercy. We know we were deserving of eternal punishment, but God held that back and he poured it out upon Jesus. So because we have received mercy from God, what does that make us want to do? That makes us want to extend mercy to others, even as God has extended mercy to us. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So as followers of Jesus, God wants us to understand that he has made us clean on the inside. And now, as we live as followers of Jesus, he wants us to live clean on the outside. Make sense? Inside, outside. And then, number seven, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So as followers of Jesus, what is true for you and me? We are at peace with God. People who are rejecting Jesus, there is no peace. But because God has given us faith in Jesus, now, through our faith in Jesus, now there is peace between us and God. What a great blessing. So what are we doing now as ones who have peace with God? We are seeking the same for others. And how do we do that? We do that by sharing God's truth with them, and we do that by praying for them. And then finally, the last one here, the last beatitude, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As followers of Jesus, we have this desire to live for Jesus. Now, what happens when you live for Jesus in the midst of a sinful world? People don't like that, and people will persecute us. So the Bible tells us we should expect to be persecuted. But when we are persecuted, though, what is that doing? That is reminding us that we are followers of Jesus. Now, if people are giving us a hard time just for any old reason, that doesn't count. But when we are living for Jesus and people are giving us a hard time, that is being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. What does God want us to know? He wants us to live every moment of every day knowing that our citizenship is in heaven. So in a sense, here we are. We are, as it says in 1 Peter, we are aliens and strangers here in this world. That's because we don't belong here. We are citizens of heaven. God wants us to realize that, and he wants us to look forward to the day when he takes us home to heaven. Some application here with day 8. So on the 8th day of Christmas, that would be a good time to compare your life with the 8 Beatitudes. I'm in the process of writing a brochure that will cover the 12 days of Christmas, and I want to have a point of application with each of the days, and then I'm going to give that out both on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then you'll be able to have that so you can actually do something on each of the 12 days of Christmas that will tie in with this series. So even once I get done preaching it, that's in a sense the beginning then of us taking it and making application each of the 12 days. Okay, finally coming now today to day number 7, 7 swans a-swimming. So we're talking here about the 7 gifts of the Spirit, 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now these are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to Christians. And what are these gifts for? These gifts are gifts given in order to enable us to be able to serve in God's kingdom. We find them listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. Now, when we think about these gifts, these are gifts that not everyone has all 7. So when we take a look at it, I would invite you to try to identify the gift, or we could say even the gifts that God has given to you. But then we should also understand, though, that the gifts are not given out in the same measure. See, the Bible says here, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. In other words, what it's saying is, on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe somebody has a gift, but they only have it at a level of a 2. So you still have it, you can still do something with it, but maybe somebody else has it at a level of a 7. So God wants us to try to see what he has given us and then use the gifts according to the grace that God has given to us. Might sound a little bit complicated. Let me go ahead and go through them and see if you understand what I mean here. So they're real short and simple. The first one, it says here in Romans chapter 12, if prophecy. So if this is a gift that the Spirit of God has given you, if prophecy, use it according to the proportion of your faith. What is prophecy? Prophecy is something I think people maybe would give a different response to than what I'm going to share with you here. But prophecy is really simply sharing God's word with someone else in a way that is accurate and beneficial. That's something that I try to do in preaching and teaching, but isn't that something that you can do as well with a friend, a neighbor, a family member, even a stranger? So I might be doing it on one level, but all of us can do it on some level. Thinking about this gift, I would invite you to think about your faith and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the maturity level of my faith? Because did you notice what it said there? With this prophecy, we're going to use it according to the proportion of our faith. So again, if your faith is not that mature, let's say it's only a 2, well, you're going to be sharing the word of God on that level. But as our faith grows and increases, we're going to be sharing the Word of God more and more. So what's important is wherever our faith is at, that should be the level of our sharing the Word of God with others. What am I really saying here? I'm saying that if we have faith, at least to some extent, even if it's only at the level of a one, if our faith is at a one, where is our sharing of the Word of God going to be? At a one. It's not going to be a zero. We're going to be sharing the Word of God in some way. May God help us to do such things, and may God help us to grow in these things too. Let's go on to the second one. Another gift is service. So the Bible says, if service, then in your serving. So in other words, if you have the gift, then go ahead and use that gift. Many here at Bethlehem serve in many and various ways within our congregation. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you who are serving or have served in all kinds of different ways. Whatever each of our positions are, let us serve in these four ways at least. So let us serve gladly, let us serve well, let us serve in harmony with others, and let us serve to God's glory. If we could all each do that according to however God has called us to serve, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Now, I think we're doing that in many respects already here at Bethlehem, but we could probably even do better. May God help us. Number three here, he who teaches in his teaching. We are blessed here at Bethlehem. We're not a real big congregation, but we have 13 different people that I identified who are teachers. Now, it doesn't mean that other people aren't teachers too. If you're a mom or a grandma, you're going to be doing teaching with your own children, with your grandchildren, and so on. So in a way, all of us are teachers, but here at Bethlehem, we have 13 particular people who are doing some kind of teaching within the congregation. I think it's best when we follow the pattern that is set out by Ezra in chapter 7, verse 10. So Ezra, what did he do when he was getting ready to teach? First of all, he would approach the Bible certain that it is true. Second, he would study the Bible, so he made sure he knew what it was saying, he understood it. And then third, he would take the Bible after he had studied it, and he would make application in his own life. He'd kind of try it out. Okay, the Bible says do this. Ezra's going to put it into practice. He's going to do it. So he tried it out. And then, after those three things, knowing the Bible is true, studying the Bible, putting it into practice, then a good teacher is ready to teach. So may God help all of us here, and even teachers everywhere that are teaching the Word of God, let us approach it in that way so God can equip us properly and God can use us to be a blessing to others. Okay, number four then, he who exhorts in his exhortation. So what does it mean to exhort someone? Well, we could put it in several different ways. To exhort someone would be like inviting them, begging them, urging them. In other words, we're trying to get people to go in a certain direction. Like some people are better at that than others. I think we could admit that. If you have the gift of that, then you're better at it than other people. Well, if that is our gift, let us use that gift to be a blessing to others in the kingdom of God. Let's say you have a friend in the congregation and that friend doesn't come to Bible class. Well, you could exhort that friend in order to begin to come to Bible class. So there are various ways that we can use that gift of exhortation. And then number five here, he who gives with liberality. So a basic principle about giving: our giving should always be based on our receiving. So people who are only receiving a little it's proper that they would give a little. People who are receiving a lot, it's proper that they would give a lot. So the Bible does talk about proportionate giving. That's one thing that's important. All of us are receiving something, so all of us should be giving something. And then for people who have this gift of giving, the Bible is saying to do it generously. And then I like this one I found as I did my own study. Do so generously and do so with no strings attached. Have you ever done that where maybe you gave something, but you kind of had a string attached to it? You know, God is saying, hey, just give it. Give it with joy, no strings attached. Easier said than done, but that's a great way to give. Number six, he who leads with diligence. I think for pretty much every one of us, our lives are influencing other people in some manner. So to some extent, all of us are leaders. Because if we're having an influence on someone, then in a way we are leaders. So to whatever extent God has given us the ability to lead others, how should we always do that? We should always do that in a God-honoring way. And if we have ever led people in a way that is not good, let's cry out to God and know that in Christ we have God's forgiveness. The last one here, number seven, he who shows mercy, do so with cheerfulness. What is mercy? Mercy is recognizing that someone has a need and helping that person in need. When we do that, we should not do so begrudgingly, but we should do so in a positive way, and we should do so by expressing Christ-like love. Well, okay, a point of application then. So on the seventh day of Christmas, I invite you to think about this list to try to identify the gift or the gifts that God has given to you. Give thanks for them. Anytime we receive a gift, we should be saying thank you. Hey, these are some precious gifts. Let us say thank you to God. And then let us be diligent in using either that one gift or all the various gifts. Let us use them in a way that we might be a blessing to others. Well, those are days 8 and 7 of the 12 days of Christmas. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, even though the 12 days of Christmas is a silly song, help us that we may understand the 12 precious gifts and that we would follow your leading so that we might make use of each and every one of them in such a way that would be in agreement with your will and also unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.